Chapter 58. Arion. The travel from Eremor to the front lines had taken less than 2 weeks, and considering the sizable caravan escorting their forces toward the Alondrian border, where the skirmishes had already begun, that was saying a lot. Arion rubbed his hands together. There was a slight chill to the morning air, as the last of the leaves had relinquished their stubborn hold on life. Autumn was coming to an end, and winter was just around the corner. Stepping from his tent near the center of the encampment, he let the front flap fall back into place, his breath visible in the early morning mist. On his left was Commander Tolan's shelter, a bit larger than his own, but then again, the pavilion was the central command post for the entire army. At any given time, a steady stream of officers and runners could be seen entering and exiting with their orders, making preparations as to the next engagement with the enemy. Directly across the heavily trafficked pathway was the temporary shelter for the High King, with Prince Dakaran's on the king's right. To his credit, the king had never been one for requesting elaborate furnishings. He'd always resigned himself to sleep with no better accommodations than the officers serving under him. This, along with the fact that he would frequently be seen taking his meals with the common rankers, earned him the respect of his men. Arion made his way through the bustling city of canvas, weaving in and around the bivouacs and small cook fires already lit for the lancers' morning rations. The encampment was a city unto itself. Apart from the ranks of fighting men and the cooks to keep them fed, there were wranglers to tend the horses, healers to patch the wounded, wagoners to transport the provisions, as well as an entire supply train of craftsmen and tradesmen alike, all of which were necessary to meet the needs of an ongoing campaign. There was a small rise in the back of the Alondrian forces, where they had set up a staging area for the king. The crimson and gold shelter, with its entire front tied open, permitted the king a perfect view of the Silmaran army on the other side of the valley. The height allowed for optimal planning and swift tactical decisions. At the base of the rise, positioned as a safeguard to the king, was the High Guard encampment. Arion's men in their black and silver uniforms were preparing their breakfast as he passed through. Those closest stood at attention and saluted. Arion nodded and moved through the ranks, stopping briefly at a small outcropping of rock about halfway up the steep mound. From the edge, he glanced out across the two opposing armies. The open expanse of borderland between them lay in peaceful silence at the moment, which was a rare occurrence of late, as men clashed from one battle to another, culminating in this final confrontation, just south of the Black Hills, and west of the small town of Bellbridge. How did we get to this point? He watched the trails of smoke rise above the vast expanse of their army, and mix with the low-hanging clouds above. Siomar had been pushing to extend its borders for years, but had never been this aggressive before. They would raid a few of the outlying villages, mostly pilfering the crops, cattle, and the occasional farmer's daughter. The raids would continue until the closest detachment of lancers could be summoned to drive them back across their borders. Everyone knew Sarin, the overlord of Siomar, held a lustful eye on the Black Hills. They were rich in iron ore, something heavily used for military purposes, as well as for profiting trade. The iron mines were located near the northwest border of the two kingdoms, but on the Alondrian side. A garrison of lancers had been established within the Black Hills to protect their miners and the ironworks from falling into Silmaran hands. As tempting as those mines were, Arion still couldn't understand what would make Lord Sarin decide to engage in a full-scale confrontation now. Reaching the peak of the rise, Arion walked out toward the edge and took a moment to close his eyes and let the early morning sun warm the back of his neck. The conglomeration of noise rising from the forces below reminded him of a wave battering itself against an unrelenting bluff. Taking a deep breath, he turned around and stepped through the front opening of the large canvas awning where the High King and Commander stood, overlooking some parchments with hand-drawn battle plans for the upcoming skirmish. Passing Dakarin on the way in, Arion tipped his head in acknowledgement, hoping to pacify his royal obnoxiousness, at least for the time being. Dakarin merely sneered from his seat in the corner as he nursed his glass of wine. Like his father, Dakarin had donned his royal battle armor, including a chest plate finely engraved with the Alondrian crest, a high sun overshadowing a golden crown. Arion couldn't imagine why the prince had chosen to come. It had been a shock to both Arion and the king. Arion could see the glint of joy it gave Rhydon to have his son at least passively involved in Alondrian affairs. But Arion couldn't help wondering if that involvement would have been a positive result. The king and commander looked up as Arion stepped inside.
"Guardian, I'm glad you're here."
The king motioned towards the table.
"We were just looking over the plans from last night."
Arion stepped to the opposite side and looked down at the well-laid blocking.
"What are your thoughts?"
The king's arms rested on the table while he stared intently at the inked drawings in front of him. Arion scanned the scrolls of vellum. "I believe our cavalry, right here," his finger circled an area on the map, "and right here," he circled another, "are going to play a heavy determinant in this conflict. I also believe, as I stated last evening, the commander has done a remarkable job in designing a realistic offensive." He paused as if to say more, but instead continued perusing the drawn-out plans. Tolan cocked his head to the side.
"I'm sensing a but here."
"To be honest," Arion admitted with a little reluctance, "I find myself asking, why?" Both heads shifted in his direction, waiting for him to expound. Arion turned to face the opening and raised his arm toward the battlefield.
"Why all of this? Why now? Sauron has allowed his people to cross our borders for years. There is no denying it, but he has never risked an all-out confrontation with Alondria. He knows he would lose. Furthermore," Arion continued, stepping back toward the table, "Sauron has never been known to actually make an appearance in battle before. He prefers to keep a safe distance from any and all excursions, and yet, here he is, on the front lines, fighting a battle hardly in his favor." He paused to let what he was saying sink in. "So again, I ask you, why?" No one moved, except the prince, as he leaned forward in his seat with an uncomfortable look on his face. "Sauron is no fool," Arion continued, tapping a finger on the table in front of him. "And I can't imagine he would be here if he didn't believe that somehow he stood a chance of winning."
"Perhaps Sauron has already reached the point of desperation," Dakarin said, motioning with his glass. "It's no secret his people are starving, and he knows the Black Hills could produce enough reserves to support his kingdom for years to come."
"My son brings an interesting observation," Rhydon acknowledged. "Most animals would rather run and hide than fight, but you back one into a corner and—" He shrugged.
Tolan crossed his arms.
"Our scouts have reported no hidden armsmen, no extra recruitment, no reinforcements of any kind."
He gestured out the front of the shelter in the same direction Arion had earlier.
What you see lying before you is the extent of their offensive.
The others followed his gaze out across the battlefield toward the opposing army. Arion turned around.
All the same, I would feel better if we kept the king here behind the lines.
I will not sit idly by and watch as my men fight and die while I do nothing.
We do not consider your presence here as nothing, Your Majesty, Tolin said with a proud look. Having you with us is a show of strength to our men.
Dukaran stood from where he had been reclining.
I agree with the commander, father.
He laid his glass aside.
You need to be kept safe. If something were to happen to you, it would be just as great a tragedy for the kingdom as losing the battle.
For once, Arion agreed with Dukaran.
And I will be here to see to that protection, my king, Arion said, nodding his agreement.
Dukaran appeared hesitant.
Do you think that wise, guardian?
All three turned to look at Dukaran.
What I meant to say is, I would have thought your talents would be better used to see a swift end to this conflict on the battlefield.
He moved a step closer to his father and smiled.
My guards and I can protect the king.
The duty of the guardian protector and the high guard has always been to the king and his safety alone,
Arion said, leaving no room for argument.
Commander Tolin and his lancers are more than capable of handling the offensive.
He offered a polite nod in Tolin's direction. Dukaran smiled and graciously bowed his head.
Of course, you are correct. Enough of this bickering, the king said, gathering the attention of those around the table. It's settled, then. I will direct from here. Arion and his men will guard the rise, and the commander has the field. Now, commander, how about showing me once more what you had planned for this third division here?
All eyes returned to the pre-laid plans Tolin had scribed earlier. All eyes, except Dukaran, who, after refilling his goblet, retired to his seat in the corner and continued to sulk.